Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
The church is a family, but it's a family with a mission in a war zone. Think of anybody name the movie for me because it just fleeted from my head. The Sound of Music, right? You're a singing family in the middle of a war zone. You've got joy unspeakable because of the joy that God's given you as a family in Christ, but your family's in a war zone. For those of you who might be here who've actually lived in war zones and dealt with that, God bless you, because you have insight to what the church is called to be and what we've been called to be now for 2,000 years, that we are a joyful body of believers in the midst of a war zone, not waging war according to the flesh. Why? Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Can everybody just say divine power? When was the last time you literally thought to yourself that you have divine power because of your faith in Christ? Divine power. You literally have power that comes from God. And I don't know about you, if you think about power sources, could there be anything more powerful than that? Nothing. There is nothing more powerful than the power of God. And it's power not to destroy, although it can, right? It can destroy things that are evil, but it's really designed to give life to that which has no life so that it can now be empowered to destroy that which is evil. Because that's what basically every person who's come to Christ is. We were once lost. We were once dead in our sins and trespasses. And then what happens? Rebirth, regeneration, newness, life. And it's life eternal, life abundant. It's life Zoe, right? It's life that only can come from him. And Paul's letting everybody know here that these weapons are not of the flesh, but have divine power to do what? Destroy strongholds. How many of you would be honest enough to say that sometime in your life, maybe, and maybe even right now, you have felt there have been things in your life that you knew weren't of the Lord, but you just couldn't shake them and you couldn't get rid of it? I'm not proud of this, but I share it because I know that this is rarely shared. I've had the gun loaded. I've had it. I've had the plan to end my pain, my suffering. And I've listened to the lies of the enemy who told me that it was going to make a whole lot of other people happy as well. That's a stronghold. Because that is so far from the truth that is in Christ. It's, matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It's the lies. I loved one of the songs, the last song that we sang that the choir sang. Dang, a choir that comes out of the body. It was like, at first I'm going, oh, wow, this is interesting. What is this? You know, it's like a game. It's a, what was that? It's a mob rush, right? At church, but nobody else is getting upset. So this must be like a normal mob rush for you all. And so, but the fact that out of the body came the group to lead worship. And in that song, which I haven't heard in a long time, but in there, but it literally, in declaration of truth, in that line is, you know, Satan's a liar. He's a liar. And if there are lies coming at us to our brain that would make you think that offing yourself would actually make other people happy, where are those thoughts coming from? Straight from the pit. Straight from the pit. And if you are here today and you've suffered the pain of losing somebody who's given into the lies, I'm here with you to suffer with you because I've been there. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so thankful that God has given me this opportunity at this stage of my life to be involved in what I believe is one of the most simple, powerful, and effective ways of dealing with lies to those extreme. Because when a brother or sister in Christ understands that in our positional authority in Jesus, we have not only the power, but we also have the right to simply come into those situations and to destroy the stronghold through the divine power that God has given us. I praise the Lord with you, and I get furious because there are so many pastors who resist it. And I go, why? Well, you can't show me exactly in Scripture where people address demons like you guys. I said, my Jesus addressed them. Did he have conversations with them? No, neither do we. And so for those of you who are maybe hemming and hawing about the unseen war training and things, I'll make it very clear. We do not have conversations with demons. We interrogate after we capture, and we interrogate only for the purpose of helping the person who we're praying for, who's been already being affected negatively by the demons, so that they understand their schemes and devices. So as Paul said, so you wouldn't be ignorant moving forward. But then it's destroyed. Sent to the footstool of Jesus, where Scripture tells us that's where they will ultimately become the footstool of Jesus. And those things are cast away. Casting out is probably like less than 0.1% of people that have yielded over. Vast majority of it is the Greek word demonization that we find, which is allows for a variance of influence of the demonic forces in the lives of people. And yes, in the lives of believers too. Well, this is where I struggle with some of the pastors too. Well, how can you? I said, pastors, if there is not demonic influence in the life of the body, why do we have most of the New Testament that was written? It's all written about spiritual warfare, and who are these things sent to? To all the church people. We're warned that the enemy himself, Satan himself, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Who is that written to? The church. I'm glad to be in a place with y'all because most of you are nodding your head in agreement. So yes. But then again, why would I be here if that weren't the case? I mean, Steve, who came up and gave the not normal height, Steve, who came up and they use that term in the back too. So I'm okay, whatever. But when he told me that, hey, I was listening to this podcast with you on it, I literally said, what podcast? He goes, there was some girl that was, I said, okay, I remember that. She was from Florida, reached out to me, wanted to talk about spiritual things, and sure enough, and he was talking about some of the things that I had shared in that, and I honestly was like, well, I'm glad what you're telling me, that's biblical, but I don't remember saying it. Right, I don't remember this, but this is exactly what the Lord wants us to be involved in. And I say us because I believe it's for the body. We believe in what we refer to as retooling, which is the specific name of the prayer, because we've gotten away from the term deliverance because it's got so many bad connotations. It's basically a prayer of freedom for people. I am literally in this area. I got here a week ago Friday, after driving here 3 days, to help a young couple that was in need in Fayetteville. I will be here, I have no idea, maybe a couple more weeks, I don't know. But in the course of just being here that many days, they've gotten great help and freedom. There's a local church in Fayetteville that I'm praying for the pastor this week, who wants to get his people trained. And then this morning coming here and hearing that you'd already watched the video and that you're actually starting training as a group. And I just looked at Steve and I said, Steve, when you're done with the training 8 weeks from now, that qualifies you. I come back and I literally train people. It just takes a day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, specifically how to pray this way. And it's all based upon our positional authority in Jesus. This is not an anointing. As interesting I find here too is that there is no way that you can read what Paul says here in this verse about the divine power of God being only for the apostles or only for a select group. We have all been called. Peter made it very clear as well. We are a royal priesthood of believers. All members, while all priests under the lordship of the head priest, Jesus Christ. So this isn't about being specifically qualified to this. It really boils down to, in my mind, faith And for a bunch of you who are teenagers, if you're 16 years or older, parents, I strongly encourage that if you have a child that's that age or older that is interested in this, bring them to the training. It's their generation most that's dealing with the lies of killing yourself is a great way. And those are lies straight from the pit of hell, designed to rob and steal and destroy and to mar the face of God, who made every single person in his image with a plan and a purpose to bring him honor and glory somehow. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Do we understand that simply a stronghold means a military installation where there's enemy forces at? The verbiage that Paul uses here is not willy-nilly, just happened to think of it. This is the word of God, divine by his, inspired by his spirit. And so there were words used at that time that the local people, and then if we'll just simply do a little research ourselves, would understand exactly what God was trying to get across to people. So when the local people heard this at that time, they didn't think about, well, hey, what's Paul talking about when he's talking about a stronghold? They understood very clearly. This is a military term. This is military verbiage. This is warfare talk. And so we now need to understand this. This is warfare talk. But guess what? It makes it very clear there is that in faith in Christ, we have divine power to battle strongholds. What's it say? What's destroy mean? Anybody? You win. You ever been playing like a board game or a card game? And you're the one that wins and you just throw your cards, everything, and I just destroyed you all. Yeah, I knew. How come I knew that was, yeah, look at me. You. For some reason, I had a feeling that you were the one. You're the one that you, when you throw them down. Good job, yeah. When we destroy strongholds, we experience the victory that Christ paid for on the cross. When Jesus from the cross said, "Tetelestai." That was a declaration of strongholds have been destroyed in the eternal realm for eternity. But we in this process now get to walk in faith and see him do it at a local level, at a local time. Because not only do we destroy strongholds, but we destroy what? Arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Boy, there is so much that we've had to deal with over the past few decades in the realms of education, especially in the quote-unquote following the science, to bring you to a point to where you supposedly have proof that there is no God. Well, isn't it amazing for any of you out there who are in the fields of science that we have literally come full spectrum to the point where now it is absolute ignoramity in science to not at least admit that there is an intelligent designer.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.